I remember a time when I first started guiding tours in Europe. Those of you who don't know me, what seems like another lifetime ago, I used to be a tour guide. I still do tours for people in the Middle East or Europe, wherever you want to go, just come talk to me. But back then, I was learning the ropes on how to guide. And I remember the first tour was going through Venice, Italy. And this was about 20 years ago or so. And the high school group was over 100 kids from a Christian school. It was their senior trip, and they wanted to go ahead and share the gospel while they were on their European tour to celebrate their senior year of high school. And so we're in Venice, Italy, and they wanted to have put on a little skit for a primary school in Venice. And one of the other guides that was training me says, "Hey, you speak Italian, right?" I said, "Well, I've had 3.5 months of immersion in Italy at that time and went to language school. I lived in Florence, Italy right after college for 3 months. So I had 3 months under my belt of Italian." He said, "Hey, you speak Italian, right?" "Well, yeah, I can converse a little bit." He said, "Well, the school would like for you to translate their skit and sharing the gospel to the students of this primary school, about 500 students." How do you think I felt? How do you feel right now, knowing this story? I wasn't prepared for that. Yeah, I was thinking Venice. I mean, finally, I'm in Venice. Venice is a great city. I don't know if you've ever been there or not, but you go there to relax. You don't go there to be stressed out, and then you've got to translate from English into Italian for 500 students the gospel on top of that. And I remember going around the corner to this little courtyard and praying my guts out to the Lord. "Lord, please help me. I don't even speak English that well. I have to somehow translate this into Italian as well." And I got into the Word, and I was reading Moses and Exodus 4, and I was like, please, and Moses, you know, the Lord wanted Moses to go to Pharaoh, to be his mouthpiece to Pharaoh, to let his people go. And Moses is kind of arguing with the Lord, "Lord, please, Lord, I've never been eloquent, neither recently nor in times past, nor since you have spoken to your servant, for I am slow of speech, slow of tongue." And the Lord said to him, "Who has made man's mouth? Or who makes him mute or deaf or seeing or blind? Is it not I, the Lord? Now then, go, and even I will be with your mouth and teach you what you are to say." And I'm like, either this is true or it's not true. Right? Isn't this how we live our life on a daily basis? Brothers and sisters in Christ, either God's word's true or it's not true. "Lord, I need you. If you don't show up, this isn't going to work well at all." And I can't tell you, I can't over embellish the story and say that, you know, I was an amazing, you know, it was like Pentecost and I'm speaking Italian, you know, fluently and all that. You know, I made my way through it. I held my own. And the gospel, praise the Lord, was clear, I think. And, but you know, this is what God does. This is the method that God uses with us. In the over of almost 40 years now of walking with Christ, I see this method that God uses with his people over and over and over. Somehow, some reason, he sees fit to allow us to participate in what he's doing on this planet. And he works his power through us. And it's really not that complicated, but we tend to complicate it. We do, unfortunately. But it's simple. And so in Mark chapter 6, we're going to actually see this very simple method laid out before us again, in order to be a conduit for God's power. It's like ABC. It's as easy as ABC. 1, 2, 3. A plus B equals C. The method lets you be A, available in your weakness, bold in his strength, equals your conduit for his power. Pretty simple, right? But yet we complicate that. And we're going to look and see how Jesus taught the disciples this over and over and over. And we're going to see one instance here in the feeding of the 5,000 in Mark chapter 6. But how about you? Can you remember a time when God came through for you in a moment where you needed him? Maybe it wasn't even ministry related. Maybe it was just business related. Like your business was about to just crumble and you really needed God to come through. And you finally had to come to the end of your rope and say, all right, I'm going to stop fighting you, Lord. I'm going to be available in my weakness. I'm going to trust you and be bold in your strength of what you can do. And then all of a sudden, God works. You have a story like that? I know you have a story like that. Maybe you're right now and you need a story like that. Maybe it's a health issue that you're struggling with right now. Whatever that may be, everybody has something. Would you pray with me first before we dig into this wonderful text? Father, thank you for your word. It's so good. It teaches us how to walk with you and be used by you. And this miracle is the only miracle, Lord, that you had all four gospel writers record in each of their gospels. This miracle of the feeding of the 5,000 is the only one. I think that matters, God. I think you have something that you want to show us this morning. So continue to teach me what I need to learn through this personally. As you speak through me this morning, and we all learn together, God. And it's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. All right. So, Pastor Brad's been taking us through the book of Mark. It's been a great series so far. We did the call to follow Christ, the cost to following Christ last week, and now it's our confidence in following Christ this week. And we are in verse 30 of Mark chapter 6. Would you just read with me? I'm teaching from the New American Standard Version, just so you know. But verse 30, the apostles gathered together with Jesus, and they reported to him all that they had done and taught. Okay, what is that all about? What have they done? What have they taught? Why are they gathered together? Well, let's look back at verse 4. Of Mark 6. Jesus had sent them out. This was the call to follow Christ. Jesus sent them out by twos, and they went out and preached that all men should repent. And they were casting out many demons and anointing with oil many sick people and healing them. And so they had come back to Jesus. Now at this time, we had this little intermission in between where Mark gives us the backstory of what happened to John the Baptist. And now the apostles are with Jesus, and they're so excited. Jesus, I mean, think about if you're just sitting there with the 12 apostles and Jesus, and all the stories coming back. Have you ever been on a mission trip before? And you come back, and you can't even get all the words out at one time. You know, it's just, and you have all your pictures and all your memories of what God did, and the way that God worked, and all this happened, and man, we were down and out here, and someone got sick here, but then God really came through and helped this person, and this person came to know Christ, and you're just real fired up. That's what these apostles are like right now. They're just really fired up, and they want to tell Jesus what had happened. But they're also very tired, too, because remember, Jesus told them, don't take any food with you, don't take any money, just go. So imagine, they're weary. They're really tired. Ministry is very tiring. And so he said to them, come away by yourselves to a secluded place and rest a while. Come to Venice, Italy. Now, they're on the Sea of Galilee, but kind of the same scenario. You know, this is supposed to be a place. Come with me right now and rest. Because they need to just recharge. And we need to do this. What a great model that Jesus gives us, that we need to recharge. We're not very good at this, especially us Americans. We're so busy. We think that if we had another day to get things done, that we'd get things done and we wouldn't be as busy. We know full well that we'd be just as busy as we are today. And we need to learn from Jesus on how to rest, how to slow down. Come away by yourself, find a secluded place, and rest a while. For there were many people coming and going, and they did not even have time to eat. So there's still even people around them with ministry still at their fingertips. They didn't have time to eat, they're hungry. It's time to rest. It's been said that one of the most spiritual things you can do is sleep. I love that line. Something that I try to apply and remember. But it's true. And so verse 32, they went away in a boat to a secluded place by themselves. How nice. The Sea of Galilee, this is late spring. Nice little sun, you know, kind of high noon maybe, 1-2 o'clock. I've been on the Sea of Galilee, Melanie and I have been on there. And it's just really pretty. Wind, nice little breeze, just relaxing with Jesus. Listening to the waves just kind of lap against the boat. It's nice. This is what they want. Peace. Verse 33. The people saw them going. And many recognized them and ran there together on foot from all the cities and got there ahead of them. Uh-oh. Okay, have you ever been, I know you've been in this situation before where you just need to get away and let it just rest. I remember, and no offense to anybody, if I ever guide your tour someday, I enjoy spending time with you on the tour, and the meals we'll share together, and the great times we'll have together, it'll be awesome. But the moment that you do, I turn that corner to go to the into the airlines, when I drop you off into security, it's just this weight just kind of lifts off my shoulders. Because, you know, I'm in charge. I'm the one in charge. I'm leading the group. I'm leading us through the towns and taking care of people's needs and answering questions and talking and talking and more talking. And I just need to rest. And we had a great time, but see ya. And then the last student would leave through security, and I would just rest. Thank you, Lord. But what happened here is basically they saw the last student go around security, and they turned around, and now there's a crowd. As he's walking out of the airport, now there's a crowd following them. Hey, we want to spend time with you. This was supposed to be my time. My rest. It's not fair. So they can't hide because they're on the water. So people saw them going and recognized them and ran on foot. And then they get there ahead of them. So they're waiting. Verse 34. When Jesus went ashore, he saw a large crowd and felt compassion for them because they were like sheep without a shepherd, and he began to teach them many things. And so, notice here, Jesus went ashore. Where are the disciples? It's safe to assume perhaps they're still in the boat. They don't. Jesus, this is your gig, man. They're here for you. Like, we've done our work. We're tired. We're hungry, by the way. If you had any food, that'd be great. You go ahead and take care of the people. But then Jesus sees this crowd and he feels compassion for them because they're like a sheep without a shepherd. They can't, you know, the sheep is the only animal on this planet that doesn't have a built-in defense mechanism. Do you notice that? A cat has claws. Alligator has teeth. What's a sheep have? Nothing. So he sees, and what's the one animal that we are said that we are over and over in Scripture? Sheep. So Jesus sees this crowd of people that I need to spend time with these people. I really care for them. I love them. And so in the next slide, we see have the heart set. There's really a key here to the first, to this easy, simple method of ABC. Available, being available in our weakness. The disciples were not available in their weakness. We don't see that on display here. Jesus is showing them, though. I mean, Jesus wasn't weak either, but he's showing them the right heart set, a right frame of the heart. And so Jesus gets out of the boat and spends time with the people. And so in order to be a really strong conduit for the Lord's power, and by the way, a conduit is simply a channel from point A, from the source, to point B, to the recipient. It's a channel where water can go through, electricity can go through. This is what we want to be for the Lord. He is the source of the power, and we want to be that channel to send that power to a recipient, someone that needs the gospel, someone that needs to be discipled, someone that needs to be cared for, someone that needs to be loved, someone that needs to have spent time with. So the first part of that equation, A, is we got to be available in our weakness. And these guys, the disciples, we were very weak. So verse 35. This goes into our next part of the equation, bold in his strength. When it was already quite late, his disciples came to him and said, "This place is desolate, and it's already quite late." So they're stating the obvious here. It's a wilderness here, Jesus. Like, there's all these people here. We're tired. We're cranky. It's already late. Just send them away, verse 36, so that they may go into the surrounding countryside and villages and buy themselves something to eat. Notice the themselves. That let them go ahead and take care of themselves and buy themselves something to eat, because I don't have time for this, Lord. I really don't want to engage right now. Send them away to give them something to eat. We can see a couple things here that kind of obliterates the being able to have the heart set, the right heart set. Is when you're, this kind of good gut check time to kind of evaluate. I think about this acronym, HALT. Have you ever heard of this acronym, HALT? H-A-L-T. When I'm hungry, I don't normally have the right heart set towards people. When I'm hungry, maybe. Am I angry right now? A. Am I lonely right now? Am I tired? I'll add another one. Am I isolated right now? Or I just don't, that's why I don't want to engage. I don't have the right heart set and the right mindset. Those are killers to the right heart set and mindset. In verse 37, but he answered them, "You give them something to eat." It's interesting that the emphasis here is on the "you." It's emphatic. You. You give them something to eat. Can you imagine the disciples like, "Lord, okay, it's desolate, we're tired, all right." Matthew wrote down in his account, Jesus was not only teaching, but he was also doing miracles, healing people. Send them away. And Jesus says, "You give them something to eat." Now you can imagine, with the wrong heart set and the wrong mindset, what's the response going to be like? that's going to come out. Let's look. And they said to him in verse 37, "Shall we go and spend 200 denarii on bread and give them something to eat?" Now, this is extremely sarcastic. You can hear it in the way that they say it. The way that it's written, the way they say it, 200 denarii is 8 months' salary, wages. So you can just hear it in their voice. "Oh, Jesus, come on. I mean, we just came back. We didn't have any money when we went out and did all this ministry, and now we're back. You know we don't have any money. And there's 5,000 men here, plus women and children. That could be somewhere 15,000 people. We're right there in front of them. Even if we had 8 months' wages, Lord, we couldn't feed all these people." And so they short circuit. You know, I think we can do that at times. When we don't have the right heart set and mindset, the method isn't working, we're not available, we're not bold in God's strength, and we just short circuit what God wants to do through you. We ruin it because our attitude's not right. Our mindset's not right. In verse 38, Jesus said to them, "How many loaves do you have? Go look." And when they found out, they said, 5 and 2 fish. Now, John's account points out that Andrew was already kind of on the lookout, apparently. He already had somebody in mind. He had a boy in mind of, you know, he's got some food over here. So Andrew brings the boy to Jesus and says, "Well, this lad here's got 5 loaves and 2 fish. You know, when I think about this story, too, I think about the Sunday school classes with the pictures that we were shown of the boy with 2 nice French baguettes, you know, and like, you know, full fish, you know, that are bigger than half, you know, half the size of him. It wasn't the case here. These loaves of bread were like small little discs, like pancakes, flat pancakes. And the fish were like sardines, salty fish that could keep over time. It was a poor lunch, poor person's lunch. A typical, something that someone would travel with. So not only we really don't have anything here, Jesus. We have 5 loaves and 2 fish. And Jesus says, "Go look." I love that part of "go look." It's like this is the turning point, like in the story where it's like the finger snap for the disciples, like, "Wake up." You know, and that's how I was thinking about Scripture. When Jesus commands us and the Lord commands us to go, it's always a go. There's always a go in there. Go make disciples. Go into the village and you'll find a colt there. You know, Jesus tells his disciples. And the text I read this morning to Moses, "Now then go, and even I will be with your mouth and teach you." I think that's one of great action to get into the right heart set and mindset. Go. "Lord, what would you like me to do?" Go. "Okay, I'm going to go. And Lord, I just ask that you work on my heart and on my mind to trust in you." Faith into action. And then Andrew adds, even in John's account, "Jesus, but what are these for so many people?" Isn't that so practical? Don't we think like that too? We get so practical, so logical. "Lord, what could you possibly do through somebody like me? Lord, how could you possibly help me with this medical issue that I have where every night I'm suffering and I'm just tired of it and I can't go on anymore and you can't do anything about this? Or my business is about to fail if you don't come through, and so I'm just going to go ahead and work on my spreadsheets a little bit harder to try to make it happen." That's not what Jesus is trying to teach them. That's not the right mindset. And in verse 39, Jesus takes over And he says, and he commanded them all to sit down by groups on the green grass. And I was thinking about, this hit me this morning when I was reviewing my notes. In verse 34, he felt compassion for them, for they were a sheep without a shepherd. And then verse 39, he commands them all to sit down by groups on the green grass. What chapter of the Bible does this remind you of? Psalms 23. The shepherd, where he makes us lie down in green pastures. Sometimes the Lord has us lie down. Do you remember, you're a parent, if you're a parent in this room, you remember with your little one, didn't want to sleep, just fussing. Ah! And you just put your hand nice and firm. Not hard, just firm, right? No. And then the little one's struggling, no! And just, no. I make you lie down. And just pat it back. Just lie down. The Lord makes them all just lie down. It's actually the little word in verse 39, sit down, is to recline. So they recline down by groups on the green grass. Ministry should be orderly. So what a great example here. Jesus is just, we're going to make this orderly. Not only will I handle this situation, but it's going to be nice and orderly. Verse 40. They sat down in groups of hundreds and of fifties. And so now you have the outcome here. The conduit of his power. They sat down in groups of hundreds and fifties, nice and organized, and he took the five loaves and the two fish, and looking up toward heaven, he blessed the food and broke the loaves, and he kept giving them to the disciples to set before them. And he divided up the two fish among them all. And the way that this is written, I mean, as Jesus is blessing and praying, he's breaking, and it's just continually breaking. Doesn't stop. Just somehow, those little pancake loaves, just more bread keeps on coming, and those little sardines just keep breaking. Can you imagine the disciples at this point? Oh, man. Here we had this horrible heart set attitude, horrible mindset attitude. But we're doing the work. God's got us doing the work now, too. He's using his people. Jesus is allowing them to participate still, even though their heart set and right mindset were off. He's so gracious to us. Reminds me of Ephesians 2:10, you know, that God has created all these great works for those who are in Christ to do. He set them already before you. They're already set. You young people in this room, you already have things that Christ wants you to do for him, already set, that you may walk in them and perform those things. How exciting is that? And you're going to come up to a time when you're not going to have the right heart set or mindset, and you need to be reminded of this text. Lord, I know you can do this. Now they're seeing, and now they're believing as they're handing out the food. And this reminded me of a time, do you remember in John, when Jesus is resurrected and he shows himself to the disciples, and there's one disciple not there, Thomas. He's not there. And the disciples say, hey, we saw Jesus. And Thomas says, I don't believe you guys. Unless I see his hands, the imprint of the nails, and put my finger into the place of the nails and put my hand into his side, I will not believe. And 8 days later, I mean, we give Thomas a hard time, but I think we'd all be like Thomas. 8 days pass, Jesus shows up, goes right to Thomas and says, Thomas, reach here with your finger, see my hands. Reach here with your hand, put it in my side. Don't be unbelieving, but believing. What does Thomas do? Now that he sees that he believes and he's, Lord, my God. And Jesus tells Thomas right there, because you have seen me, have you believed? Blessed are they who did not see and yet believed. You all want to be blessed here in this room by the Lord? All want to be a conduit for his power? Yes, it's easy after we see the miracle. Now we believe. Well, yes, join the club. We can all do that. But what about not seeing the miracle and yet believing? This is what Jesus is trying to teach the disciples. He's trying to teach us. He's trying to teach me. But we forget. We get too smart. In verse 42, they all ate and were satisfied. About 15,000 people. It says 5,000 men. So you figure some were married, children, 15,000 people. And they pick up 12 full baskets of broken pieces and also of the fish. How many disciples are there? 12. How many baskets? 12. Jesus is trying to teach them because they're about to be sent out to the remotest parts of the earth. And most of them will lose their life. And they're going to need to see miracles. And they need to remember this part of their life. In verse 44, there were 5,000 men who ate the loaves. So the outcome, nothing's impossible with God. Nothing. Would you turn with me to Jeremiah 32? I think these verses are worth looking at together. It's in your Old Testament. Just go to your left. Jeremiah 32. In verse 17, and Jeremiah says, "Ah, Lord God, behold, you have made the heavens and the earth by your great power and by your outstretched arm. Nothing is too difficult for you." And jump over to verse 27. "Behold, I am the Lord, the God of all flesh. Is anything too difficult for me?" And do you remember Luke 1:37 as well, with Gabriel and Mary? "Mary, you're going to have a child. How is that? That's impossible. I'm a virgin. There's no way." He says, "There's nothing. Nothing will be impossible for God." Do you believe that this morning? Like, yeah, I've heard that before. No, I mean, like, believe it. Like, really believe that in the situation that you're in. Think about it. Everybody has a situation that they need him to come through in today. There's nothing that the Lord can't do. And so then with the right heart set, "All right, Lord, I'm going to stop fighting you. I'm going to trust in you. What would you like me to do? I am very weak, and I acknowledge it. I'm stopping trying on my own, and I'm relying fully on you." And then the right mindset to be bold in his strength, because, "Lord, I know I can't do it, but I know that you can, because nothing's impossible for you. Your word says it. Nothing's too difficult for you, Lord." And then you wait and you go and you get into action and then you see God work. The outcome, you become a conduit for his power. It's pretty simple, right? ABC. And the more you apply the method of A plus B equals C, available in my weakness, bold in his strength, conduit of his power, the greater your confidence will grow in following Christ. You'll see it happen over and over and over, and then you'll just be more and more confident and stronger in following him. And you'll have all these stories to tell, and it's going to be awesome. Isn't following Christ fun? It's a blast. I feel like some of you need like a vitamin B12 shot or something this morning, you know? Like, following Christ is great. The world can't go out. They can't say this stuff. But we can, because Christ is within us. And his word is right here in our hand, and we know it, and he's using us. What a great text, simple text. But let's pray, and we'll worship together. God, thank you so much for your word. Thank you for the simplicity of it. Thank you for using us the way that you do. We thank you for our youth. That for such a time as this, you've placed here at Faith Bible Church to grow them into the knowledge of you, to be warriors for you. I pray that you protect them and grow them. I thank you for this body. I thank you for the parents. I pray that these parents would be blessed, and that you'd give them wisdom as they parent and lead their homes. We love you, Lord, and it's in Jesus' name. Amen.